Number one, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I don't think that the psalmist there was saying that we do nothing but meditate on Scripture. I mean, you can't build a house and not think about how you're going to handle the saw or the hammer. If you're mowing your grass, you got to think about, we have to have our minds involved in what we're doing physically as we live. But I think when the psalmist said, in his law doth he meditate day and night, I think he was primarily saying that the law of the Lord is where his mind goes when it doesn't have to be somewhere else. Okay? Now, I'm standing here saying that to you, and you're looking at a guy who does not do that consistently. I'm not trying to sound like I'm righteous and holy. I'm not. I'm a sinner saved by grace. But I think that a person who knows the Lord as Savior and loves the Lord would at least desire to have a mind that when he's not focusing on other things that he needs to give his attention to, his mind automatically goes to the Word. And that's a good thought, I think. Yeah. And so tonight, we don't have to think about something else right now. And so I'm going to ask you to meditate with me for a little bit on Psalm 46, a very familiar psalm. It's 11 verses long, and I just want to share a few thoughts. This will not be exhaustive, and hopefully it will not cause exhaustion, but that it'll be something that'll be an encouragement to you. We live in a day of disasters, don't we? A period, an era in the history of the world. All we have to do is think back over, not too far back into the past, and we can think of tremendous disasters that have occurred. That recent earthquake that caused the tremendous tsunami in Japan was horrendous. I'd call it horrendous, wouldn't you? And then other events, the 9/11 here in our country, and then just locally, the tornadoes that have occurred in the last few years, and earthquakes and so on. Julie, having lived in California, I'm sure she knows a lot about us, talked to a number of people who've had experiences with the earthquakes that are so common out there, and so on. We live in a world that is filled with disasters. And I just, for the sake of curiosity, went online today as I was meditating on Psalm 46, and I've just put in the word disaster. I Googled disaster. And I just wrote down some names of some websites, and it's unbelievable. There are multiple websites that come under the search topic of disaster preparedness. And when you get there and you start looking, you see all kinds of things that everybody's promoting out there to help us be prepared for disaster. There's disaster recovery plans, a whole section dealing with how to recover from disaster. And then dealing with disaster, there's psychological sites helping people get their minds around disaster and dealing with it, coping with disaster, disaster management tools, disaster exercise plans. And those are just a few. There were many others. And, of course, we often think of floods and earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes and tsunamis and all those kinds of things as that's what we put under the heading of disaster. But and there are so many types of them, and oftentimes we think about it and we shudder as we think about the potential that it could have upon our own lives. Elaine and I have a spot that if we get under a severe tornado warning and there are tornadoes in the area in our house where we plan to go. How many of you have a place you're planning to go if you have that? Yeah, most people. Okay, yeah. So we think of that. But when you begin to think about it, we think that the greatest disasters are things like I've just talked about. But these are natural disasters, I guess you'd call them. Disasters of nature, primarily, if that would be a good way to put it. But there are disasters that can happen to us these natural disasters do not compare with. I've sat across the desk or in the room with people who are going through personal disasters in their lives. And I've counseled them, and I've talked long distance with many people about disasters that have occurred in their lives. I've met many times with people. I've met with people ongoing week after week to talk and help them with principles from God's Word in dealing with spiritual disasters, emotional disasters, relationship disasters. And life does have its disasters, and there are people out there that are brokenhearted, that are injured in spirit, and that are having a difficult time dealing with things that have happened to them. And there's no governmental aid that can assist those people. Not really. And it just seems like their world is just crumbling. And I'd say that most of us in the room tonight, this is not a big crowd, but most of us have had at least moments in our lives when we felt like our world was crumbling. And I think Psalm 46 has some real help to us for living with that possibility in our lives. And so I'd like us to read Psalm 46. I'll mention just in passing that the song that Martin Luther wrote, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, it's often referred to as Luther's hymn, was written based on this particular psalm. And of course, a psalm is a song. Let's read Psalm 46. I'll read and you just follow along. It's just 11 verses. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, that is, of that city. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. As we meditate on this psalm, we find, first of all, that the setting for this psalm would take us back historically to the days of King Hezekiah, the king of Judah. And it was at a time when the Assyrian army was ready to come against Judah and destroy them. And I don't know if you remember, but if we would go back to 2 Kings, in fact, just turn back there briefly, we'll look at a few verses, not many, but just sort of put it into setting. The king of Assyria was actually challenging Hezekiah and, in a sense, making fun of him. Let's look at 2 Kings 18, verses 19 and 20. 2 Kings 18, verse 19. Now, therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto... I'm in 1 Kings, sorry. 2 Kings. At that time did Hezekiah cut off No. I'm sorry. 18, 19, and 20. Have I written it down wrong? 2 Kings 18, verse 19. Okay. I'm sorry. I can't believe I did that. I didn't have it marked in my Bible, so I just... Okay, here it is. This is it. And Rabshakeh said unto them, speak ye now unto Hezekiah. And here's the message. Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? There's a question mark. What is this you're trusting in? Thou sayest, but they are but vain words, I have counsel and strength for the war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Here's this king of Assyria and saying, who are you trusting? What's your confidence in? He has sent messengers to sort of intimidate Hezekiah and the people of Judah and to make light of their trust in the Lord. I've had people do that to me in the past. Make some comment about, oh, you trust the Lord, huh? And joke about it. Make light of the fact. And especially, of course, today, those who do not believe in God whatsoever, they laugh at the Christian who says his confidence is in the Lord. Look again at verses 29 and 30 of the same chapter. See if I can find them. There we go. I think this is it. Yeah. Verse 29. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you. Now he's speaking to the people of Judah. Don't let Hezekiah fool you or deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand, out of the hand of the king of Assyria. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. And so this is the setting out of which Psalm 46 comes. It's interesting, too, as we go on and look in chapter 19, and we'll just go ahead and read some from chapter 19, and I did have this marked. 2 Kings 19, verses 32 through 37. It says, therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it, for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his sons, smote him with the sword. And they escaped into the land of Armenia. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. So Sennacherib's own sons killed him. And so this is the setting, and I think it's interesting. First of all, we see when we read Psalm 46 that immediately at the beginning we read that God is our refuge and strength. God appears at the very beginning of this psalm. And we need to remember, you and I and all of those who put their faith in the Lord, that God is not the supreme being. He is supreme, and he is a being, but he is not an impersonal being, not some impersonal supreme being. He is the God who loves us, who cares about us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, and he is the God who sent his son to die on the cross of Calvary for us. So he's not some generic force of good, but a personal and a powerful God who will work on our behalf. And the people understood that. And so they could write such a psalm. Secondly, we see that not only does God appear at the very beginning of the psalm, but we can think about this for a moment. The secret of peace for us as we face the possibility of disaster is a personal relationship with God. It says, God is our refuge. That makes me think of Psalm 23. But He is our refuge. And you and I, we have been through some difficult times. We've been through some disappointments. We've had some heartaches. You will have some in the future. And right now, probably some of you are thinking of something that has happened in your life that was a tremendous disappointment, something that was painful. And I can tell you this from my own experience, and probably many of you can relate to this. Even when our hearts may be breaking and we're going through extreme difficulty, there's something about having a relationship with God and knowing that our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ that brings peace. Peace that you cannot explain. The believer can see beyond the difficulties through the eyes of God. And of course, we're thinking of that time when we will be in His presence for all eternity. And we know that His promises He will keep. But there is a secret for the believer. And that secret is that personal relationship with Christ gives peace. And we can meditate on that and trust that. And then it says, not only God is our refuge, God, a personal God, not some supreme being, impersonal supreme being, but He is our refuge. What is a refuge? I mentioned that Elaine and I have a spot we're going to go if there's a tornado. Well, that will be our spot of refuge from a tornado. But when we face extreme difficulties, I'm thinking of, for instance, Wilma Hodges. I'm thinking of what Greg has gone through, and Wilma's going through it with him, and so on. Where is our place of refuge when those kind of things happen to us? It's God, absolutely. We didn't mention Max Stewart. We should have. And Peggy. Max is with the Lord. And Peggy has a refuge. She has a refuge. The challenge for Jerry, the challenge for you, the challenge for all of us when we face disaster is to not stay out from under the umbrella of God's protection and fret over the difficulty and the disaster and look at it and think, oh, how terrible, poor, pitiful me. But to get under the umbrella of God's protection and to take refuge in the Lord. If we do that, our joy will not be diminished by the difficulties of life. One of the saddest things that I've ever seen is a Christian who has a radiant testimony for the Lord, and they say they're saved and so on, and all of a sudden disaster hits and suddenly their countenance changes immediately. As somebody said, they have a face as long as the face of a Missouri mule. You know? And I think, when I think of that, I think, yes, there is heartache that causes us to change somewhat, but it should never diminish our joy in the Lord. The Word of God tells us in Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. He didn't say rejoice in our circumstances. He says, rejoice in the Lord. If we focus our rejoicing on our circumstances, we're going to lose our joy. But if we focus our rejoicing on the Lord, on Him only, we will not lose our joy. Because God doesn't change. He doesn't have a bad day. To me, that's a real challenge, to focus on Him. He is our refuge. And we can hide in him when we go through the storms and difficulties of life, and we're safe even when our world is shaking all around us, if we realize that he is our refuge. Not only does it say that he is our refuge, but it also says that he is our strength. And we don't have to take a long time to focus on this, but Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, when I am weak, then am I strong. And there are people who are weak, but they're not strong. Why? Because they do not acknowledge their weakness and say, okay, it's fine to be weak. I am weak, but I have a source of strength. That source is my refuge. That source is God. And it's all right to be weak. It's all right for Jerry to be weak, as long as he doesn't forget that he has a source of strength outside of himself. I've shared this, I think, once, maybe, since I've been helping with the music here at Faith Baptist Church. But there's a story that a friend of ours told of a friend of hers in the Miami, Florida area, who she and her husband was an attorney, had plenty of money, lived in a lovely home, spent hundreds of dollars on many occasions to invite lost people in for meals and try to win them to Christ and so on. For years they had prayed that the Lord would give them a child, and they didn't have one. And then this lady found out, this wife of an attorney, and they were both godly, born-again people, that she was expecting a baby. And as a part of her testimony, she told her neighbors, whom she had witnessed to, that the Lord had blessed them and they are expecting a child. The child was born. She continued to witness to her neighbors, and one of the neighbors was a Jewish couple. And one day, this lady went into her baby's room and noticed that he didn't look the same. And when she picked him up, he was limp and he was lifeless. And she screamed to her neighbor and asked him to drive her to the hospital. Got to the hospital, and while she was waiting, as they were examining the baby and trying to determine, doctor came out and said, I hate to tell you this while you're alone, but your baby is dead. And the lady's name was Jane. I remember her first name was Jane. And she looked at whoever told her that, and with tears streaming down her face, she smiled and said, oh, I'm not alone. Can you imagine? Tears running down, dripping off of her chin. And she says, oh, I'm not alone. I'm never alone. I have a friend who promised he would never leave me nor forsake me. See? And I can't think on this without thinking of the Apostle Paul and Silas in Philippi. And he wrote to the church in Philippi. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, or who strengthens me. So he is our strength. God is our refuge. He is our strength. And then we read in Psalm 46 that he is a very present help in trouble. Very present. And the idea there is that he is nigh, he is available, and of course he is greater than our trouble, no matter what trouble we face. I don't know what's down the road for me. You don't know what's down the road for you. I'm sure Wilma Hodges had no idea that when she and her friend decided to take those days and go spend some time together, that she was going to end up in the emergency room and then in intensive care at Research Hospital. But God knows. Our tomorrows are like yesterday's to him, and he is bigger than any trouble we can face. We see, first of all, God's presence, and then we see God's peace in verses 2 through 7. It says, therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, and so on down through the 7th verse. The word therefore. Remember Pastor saying, when you see the word therefore, you ask what the word therefore is therefore. The first verse is so short. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, period. One sentence. That's it. And then he says, therefore, because God is our refuge, because God is our strength, because God is a very present help in trouble, therefore. And he has a list of things that we won't cause us to fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, and though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, etc. Basically, what he is saying is, bring it on. God is our refuge and strength. Therefore, we're not going to be afraid. I will not fear. I won't fear. Do you fear tornadoes? I don't want to live through one, but I'm not afraid of tornadoes. That doesn't mean that I'm so stupid that I'd go out and go walking down the road as one approaches me. I'll get away from it. But a person whose faith is in the Lord does not live with fear. Fear and faith cannot coexist. When faith wells up within the believer, fear flees. The psalmist said, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. And the moment he makes up his mind, fear hits, he says, okay, Lord, you're it. I'm trusting you. The fear subsides. And so there's no need for fear when we're trusting the Lord. Verse 2, verse 3, deal with that. The different things that can happen that can cause us to fear. And then we have to lift our eyes to the Lord. We read further of the river. There's a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. In heaven there is the river of life. And it's the city of God, and God is there. And, of course, Jesus is preparing a place for us. And we live in anticipation of that. We lift our eyes above the things of this life. But in the meanwhile, the Lord of hosts is with us right now. Verse 7 says this, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And so we have the presence of God. We have the peace of God. And then we have the promises of God, verses 8 through 11. He says, come and behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. There is no problem that you or I are going to face that is bigger than God. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Our confidence must not be in ourselves. It mustn't be in other people. Psalm 118, it's better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in princes. And all of these things are nothing to the Lord. And we are told then in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I wrote a note to Stephen Van Gelderen today, and Stephen's got a birthday coming up, a significant birthday, and Jill asked several people to write some notes for him for his birthday, and so I wrote something, and I really hadn't settled on what I was going to share tonight, but I wrote this to him. As I look back on my life, now almost 74 years in length, I'm convinced that one of the most important phrases in God's word to me is from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It is the phrase, in all thy ways acknowledge him. I said, we become so rushed and so loaded with responsibility that we sometimes are tempted to rush ahead on autopilot, so to speak, just doing as we have always done, and doing what we have learned from others or through our experiences in life. And I just went on to express my thoughts concerning that phrase. But then I said, in conjunction with these thoughts, I'm reminded that I once read of George Mueller that in the margin of his Bible, beside the word, the steps, in Psalm 37, 23 through 25, he penned the words, and the stops. And then I said, I have found that some of the events in my life that were, at the time, extremely disappointing, turned out to be, in reality, great blessings. I misjudged them as I was going through them because I was unable to see those events from God's perspective. Looking back on them, I could see the evidence of God's hand, of God's protection, and of God's provision. And I think that the psalmist, as he wrote this particular psalm, was thinking, yes, look back on what God has done. We read from 2 Kings chapter 19, and as we read the conclusion of Sennacherib's challenge to Hezekiah, we found that God intervened, God protected, and God overruled in the affairs of men. Sennacherib boasted that God couldn't protect Hezekiah or Judah. He said, you're not going to be protected by this God. Who are you trusting? What do you mean you're trusting him? But God overruled. God did what he promised he would do. And the angel of the Lord smote 5,180 Assyrians that night and protected. And we can still put our confidence in the Lord. God is able to meet our needs. And he will supply our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I think it's a wonderful passage to meditate on. And so tonight, that's just sharing something as a way of meditation. I don't know what thought came to your mind as I kind of talked about the fact that you've been through something in the past. Or there may be something that you may be anticipating. There may be some things that you're thinking of that may be coming down the pike, so to speak, for you. But it does not matter what the problems of the past have been, what the problems of the future will be, or what the problem is that you're currently in. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And this particular passage starts with the statement, God is our refuge. In the middle of the passage, verse 7, it says, the God of Jacob is our refuge. And then it ends with that same phrase, the God of Jacob is our refuge. So when the disasters of life come, go to your refuge. He wants you to do that. And he'll take care of you. He will take care of us. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for these thoughts. Thank you that you encouraged my own heart as I meditated on them and thought through these verses that are so helpful to us in this day when we live in a world that's full of disasters, when we live in a world where there are nuclear warheads in many countries, and there's the possibility of even the earthquakes and the tornadoes and the hurricanes and the various and sundry other things that can harm us physically. But Lord, beyond that is the destruction that can come to our lives because of sin, because of our own mistakes, and even the temptation to blame you for things that you are not responsible for. Help us, Lord, to remember, you are our refuge. You are our strength. You are our very present help in trouble. And Lord, forgive us when we have forgotten that momentarily, when we have looked at our problems and haven't looked at you at the same time and realized that you were bigger than our problems. And Lord, help us in the future not to focus on the difficulties of life without focusing, superimposing you above and beyond and over and in and around those problems. Because Lord, you really are bigger than any problem we will ever face. You can actually do more than meet our needs, Lord. You can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think. Help us to be like Jane when troubles come. Help us to remember that we're not alone. And even though tears may be rolling down our faces May we have a smile, at least in our hearts, if not on our faces as well, as we say, oh no, I'm never alone. I have a friend who promised he would never leave me nor forsake me. Thank you, Lord, for being our refuge. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.